For Wednesday, October 25th of 2023, would you please take care of the roll call, Diane?
Hey, Mr. Steve Pro.
I'm here.
My name is Gucci.
Here.
Robin McArdle.
Here.
Betsy Quintero. She's not with my space. So, I don't think she's on.
Phone,
she's absent, as well as
Tassoon. Okay, all right. But we do have a quorum. We have five. All right. Approval of the minutes from September 27th. Do we have any additions or corrections that you've been notified of that we need to know about?
No, I have not.
All right. And unless you know the other commissioners have something to add, I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
See if you're good with them.
Second.
All right. It moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Robin?
Aye.
Okay. All right. We know that that's unanimous. All right. The next item is the call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during the call to the audience. And I have a big stack of cards here, and we're going to start with Joan.
What else they yellow? Thank you very much, Mr. Poe. Communication. I thought I had more time, so I'm going to be passing off what I had to say to other people that I stated in a few minutes. I'll start where I wanted to start, which is with great respect and love. I welcome you all with all my heart. Thank you all so much for giving me your time and attention today. In appreciation of you being here, I baked some cookies and brownies. I hope you enjoy them. First, I need to start with a very public apology to Director Hanway. And since it deals with an issue that deserves a little time on its own, I was going to take my 3 minutes call to the audience in order to address it. Director Hanway had the bad luck of walking into a situation that is specific to the Tucson Parks Department, and that has been allowed to deteriorate to the point that I had to take the extreme measure of filing an ADA violation complaint with the Department of Justice. It was not a problem of her creation, but now it is clear that it is one dependent on her resolution. My name is Joe Visconti, yada, yada, skip that. Okay, so how to increase community participation. Step one, invite people. Step two, listen to them. Step three, offer to feed them. That's my time. I want to use to discuss what's next, or as I have been thinking of this, why bother Quash? I want to use this time to share information about Tucson dog parks, their communities, and the benefits of successfully interacting with them. Step four, honoring their voices. Each dog park comes with its own small army of volunteers. They often come with a wealth of knowledge, and there is usually a willingness to work with the Parks Department to enhance the dog parks. And as a matter of course, if the Parks Department invites, welcomes, and then honors the feedback from the community, it results in a beautiful, well-maintained park and a happy community. Oh, I've got an example of pictures of my previous service dog enjoying the 6th Avenue Park as it was meant to be. Thank you. Here's the tree on the grass, 6th Avenue Dog Park. It was not then too small to maintain grass in that park. Certainly cutting the park in half makes it even harder. But that was that. So if the Parks Department doesn't bother to interact with the people that use the parks, then you get situations like I observed in my brief visits to the dog parks that I was able to physically get myself to despite my disabilities and other difficulties. The handle is missing on one of the gates to the large dog area at Nico's Corner and Dog Park at Reed Park. Both solar lights are out at 6th Avenue Dog Park. Community members see me and automatically tell me since I was an active community leader there for 16 years. I got things done for the park. And so in my case, dumped a load of gravel on the park and made it impossible for me to use it safely. Adam would agree on that safety part. He's a gentleman who broke his hip in that park after slipping on the gravel. I was hoping someone else from 6th Avenue Park, besides me, was going to be able to speak here about their experiences and other issues. Great, welcome. My point here is that there needs to be better communication between the My point here is that there needs to be better communication between the Parks Department and the residents of Tucson that either currently use the dog parks or would if the conditions were better. So now I want to address what phone numbers mean specifically by better conditions. Thank you all for your time, Richard.
This is Julie Sheldon, correct?
First and foremost, the dog parks, like any other park or recreation area, should be safe to use and not offer an additional risk of disease, illness, or injury to either the Tucson residents using them or their families, especially and including our dogs. The Center for Excellence Studying Valley Fever in Canines at the U of A suggests grass is the only safe and acceptable ground cover for dog parks in southern Arizona. Peg Weber's administration insisted on maintaining grass in the dog parks, and our most common complaint was only water. Parks Department was serious enough in its commitment to the 6th Avenue Dog Park in its community that it dug French drains under the entire dog park at considerable expense to ensure the best possible outcomes. And our dogs were not getting sick. Dogs getting valley fever was much rarer than it is now. I do not believe that is a coincidence that as the Parks Department continues to allow the city's dog parks to degrade and deteriorate and either leave the exposed dirt or dump gravel.
PG,
which does not alleviate the problems or exacerbate them, that the incidence of dogs in Tucson has skyrocketed. Listen to us. When we as a community in 2019 asked the Parks Department to meet with us before they made decisions concerning the park, this is information we should have been given the opportunity to share. Dog parks need grass, shade, water, and ample handicap parking. Supply that, and the parks will be filled with happy Tucsonans. Please remember, these are meant to be parks for the public to enjoy and allow their dogs to exercise off-leash, not dog runs where dumping gravel really doesn't matter. Director Hamway has done an excellent job of trying to be ADA compliant and responsive to feedback from the community, from what I can see, to the best of her understanding. The complete redesign of the entrance of the dog park at 6th Avenue and the removal of the problems the original placement of the railings posed are evidence of that. But I need to correct her in understanding on the ADA requirements for access in dog parks and any other ground cover in any other park for the general public. The law states ground must be firm and stable. This is why my complaint was forwarded to the Justice Department, to the Department of the Interior. That's why the gravel is such a problem. It is needed, neither form nor state. We need to be able to go wherever our dogs are, whether it's the water source or the middle of the field to pick up their poop. You've got a sign posted on every gate that it is the law, and then you make it impossible for me to be in compliance safely.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, so who's next? Sandra. Sandra Hopkins.
Sorry, do you have a topic?
No, she doesn't. I just finished it right before I got in the car, basically.
Misrepresenting a clear of facts and essentially misrepresenting or being untruthful. And this, too, I have observed here in these meetings. Last month, I mentioned that someone told me they feared their dog has contracted parvo in the Reed Park dog park. Someone asked Mike Hayes what the dog park, what the Parks Department policy was in these situations. His reply was that the health department notifies him of problems. This is a blatant lie. The health department has nothing to do with dog parks. I know because in 2019, Mike Hayes told us he wasn't going to allow us to have buckets of fresh water in the parks
the dogs because it was a health department law. I called the health department to ask them about this, and they were dumbfounded. They were, though, extremely concerned about dogs being denied access to water in the desert in the summer, whether in a public park or elsewhere. So health department sounds official, and it stops questions. It's just not true, and contrary to the concept of a public park. The issue with shared water came up in 2014 or so with a brief and overhyped outbreak of leptospirosis in some dogs at Tucson. It's not a common issue to southern Arizona, and the response to it was swift and effective. However, since then, as a result of being denied the opportunity to have a small wading pool to cool off in, one of the park regulars, a black Shar-Pei named Burr, went into heat exhaustion and died before he got to the vet. Your decisions have very real consequences for us. Please, for the love of God, just listen to me. Now, how to fix this. Based on my experiences, people want to work with the parks department to keep their parks nice. That's the big issue here, maintaining the parks. You have to help us with that, but we will help you. Meg Weber had a parks manager meet with a small group from each dog park every month so that together they could address and resolve potential problems like what to do when someone repeatedly brings an aggressive dog to the park, an issue I've seen people bring to this commission because they had nobody else. As I mentioned before, the 6th Avenue Dog Park has a long history of community participation. Harness that loving energy. I got to stop here. Thank you again so much for your time and attention.
Thank you.
And I would add for myself, I'd like to revisit the idea of, there's a new term called, non-functional grass. And so I realize what the limitations of water are. I grew up here, and I've lived here since 1956. But like any other park, this is a park. And so what is functional and necessary varies in terms of matter of opinion. And I may not be clear on the parks or the city's position on that, but there are a lot of other definitions of functional. And we hope that you'll consider that for dogs and dog parks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. You are great. Thank you. Tanya?
Yeah. I'm also addressing the dog park, if you.
Okay.
I go to the one at Jacobs Park, and theirs is just one big, like, arena, so they're not separate. So we have large and small in one, which I feel is a little bit unwanted for some, because some is, you know, their dogs are afraid of the big dogs. So I think having it split would be nice, or two separate.
Yeah, another addition. Yes. For the small dogs.
Yeah, I mean, it is
small already.
Yeah, it is small, and so it is hard. But there's also a lot of dips in there. I was going to run with our dogs, and I about broke an ankle because there's a lot of holes that you can't see. There's goat heads, plants in there, so I had to check our dogs before we got in the car. Because they had a lot of goat heads in their feet. And the water fountain that they have for that fair is, it's a mess. It needs to be fixed. There was like a swarm of bees on it like a week and a half ago. So the dogs couldn't even get water out of it. I was afraid to put my foot over there to get it because I didn't want the swarm to get pissed and bite me. And then the gate, it doesn't latch all the way. It just goes like this, and so you can't latch it. And, you know, I would be up to helping clean it up if we had, like, a little group do it, keeping it up, because it is a nice little park over there. And, let's see, I'm sorry. And they do have, like, little, like, activities for the dogs, but they're starting to deteriorate. So I don't know if you can, if there's some volunteers that we'd love to, like, fix that up. Because the dogs really like to go up on them and play and run around. And there's no shade over there at all. I've noticed there's no shade. Other than that was just my concerns.
Donnie, can you tell me what park you take yourself
to? Jacobs Park. Jacobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
On Fairview and Prince area.
Okay. Right. The next one I have here is Anna Dodd.
I'm Anna Dodd, and I'm just sort of a self-appointed person to represent the golfing community in Tucson. There are four of us that I know of here, and if you raise your hands, you know that we're here. I live at 430 South Randolph Way, which is just down the street across from hole number 3 on Randolph North. And I have to read this so I don't leave out anything. You have planned a public pedestrian pathway in the middle and around Dell and Randolph North to be used while golfers are playing the course. I cannot imagine a more fertile situation for litigations to occur. Pedestrians as live targets for errant balls. Suing the city and golfers for being hit by a golf ball. We golfers are not professionals who can perfectly guide our balls where we want them to go. I can attest to that from all the damage caused to my home from errant balls. A smashed glass door, a smashed skylight, a disabled solar system from one ball, a broken front door fixture, a smashed car window parked in my front yard by a participant who is escorting a group of wounded warriors to a fishing trip in Mexico. Each day, I salvage at least 3 balls in my yard. I have a 5-gallon bucket full of balls, which I share with my fellow golfers if they want. This is surely a testament to the inaccuracies of golfers. There is not a golf course in the world where pedestrians and hikers are allowed on the course while it is being played. The old course at St. Andrews in Scotland allows walkers, but only on Sunday when the course is closed to golfers. This is but one of the myriad objections to this plan, but a major one. I know that there will be a public meeting for you all, for us all to attend, and to see the new projected pathway plan. We golfers will be there to give you our opinions if public sentiment is really what you want to hear. Meanwhile, may I hand you all a short list of objections started by a few Delmeric women after our play on Tuesday. Yep. So we'll just
Thank you, Anna. And I believe you wrote something too, didn't you? Because I read all those details earlier.
I wrote something in the letters to the editor, and I hope you all read it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's see. The next one here, I have Matthew Connolly. Matthew, are you? Which topic are you on, Matthew?
I'm on dog parks.
Dog parks. Okay. Thank you.
Jacobs Park, in particular. But first off, there's a belief that the parks department in between the city and the county are mixed. Is that not?
You're good.
That was my fault. But anyway, whether or not who you call into. Jacobs Park, holes in the dirt, horrendously bad. There's no dirt there to put into the holes. You wanted to. Very nice. There's grass there, but the holes in the dirt is very bad. Horrendous. Driveway holes. There's got to be 2 more. There were 5 more, but a couple have been fixed. Really should be taken care of. The whole paving thing there in Arizona is brand new. It's going to be an interesting thing to learn about. Those holes, though, are something that should be addressed. The water spigot for the spigot part, in particular, it's very bad over there. It's just a spigot. There's no little fountain. There's no little ledge for a bowl. There's muddy galore and a bunch of tires. Watering the lawn in midday. I'm from the east. I thought, you know, after 8:30, 9 o'clock, you don't water the lawn. I don't know what you do out here, but I'd like to, you know, let you all come to that again when your workers turn the water on. And at Jacobs Park, I'm not sure if it really covers very good. I did see just today that it covers, each sprinkler covers the other sprinkler. That's something that should be checked up a little bit better. The lady mentioned the fountain. She's talking about the water fountain for drinking. And also, the bottom has a dog bowl. The little button for itself has been leaking for a long time. The bees are there at the button collecting water, want to save water. So I guess that's something that should be addressed. Bowls, the blinking water, and then the water spigot really should be addressed. And thank you for doing a great job in the Parks Department. I know you know it's a job, but you know you got to put up with us. So, and then you got the wholesale side, the retail side. Thank you for putting up with us. And gosh, there's a lot of dog parks out here. Amazing. Thank you. That helps you there. Didn't start off. Excuse my voice. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony. So you should get it. All right. Let's see. The next one I have, Bill. I saw you. Oh, there you go. Okay, Bill
DuPont. Colonial Solano. I was president there of that neighborhood for over 30 years, and I've lived there for over 40 years. So I'm very adept to what goes on at Reed Park. Unfortunately, with this new master plan that I have seen that we blew up for a neighborhood, because you can't see what's going on when you look at the city website. But first off, what we are concerned about are all the planned programs throughout that park. Now, we have 33 planned programs. As I said, I'm the eighth generation of Tucsonan, Hispanic, so I want everybody to know that this park is really used by the Hispanic population. And for generations and decades, they have used it for large family gatherings, especially on the weekends. And they will take up a quarter of the park just for one family reunion. They will not be able to do that anymore with this plan. Secondly, on Camino Campestre, when we bought that house, there was a lawsuit filed by George Fulner, and there was a chain link fence put up there, boulders, and pirate camp. And that was due to a rapist that had occurred, a rape in the park, and it ran over into our house, so he sued and he won. So there was a chain link fence put up. Now, what I did for over 21 years, although I don't know this, is I'm the one that fought for the bike path around Reed Park. It took me 21 years, a lot of things, and it was supposed to be named after Epps Randolph. Politics be politics, I sure got the name. But what I did is I asked that that fence be removed and agreed to that because it was better for security purposes and all. Now there's a possibility of a parking lot being there. I'm not for that at all. As I said, I went ahead and allowed the fence to be removed, but to remove over 30 trees for a new parking lot when the mantra is plant a million trees is not acceptable. The other concern is those people that are handicapped. You're removing the parking near Demeester and behind Demeester. So I don't know how people that usually come from, you know, nursing homes and all to a lot of the symphonies here are going to get to that location. So you're removing that handicap parking, and I think that's really going against ADA. For those people that perform at Demeester, they no longer are able to get their instruments or their equipment to it. They'll have to roll it up. So there are a lot of things and fine details that need to be rediscussed here. And to do an out, just a citywide survey, everybody's going to give you their input. But they're not here on the premises seeing 24/7 the usage. I talked to the police the other day because of what occurred here a couple of weeks ago. They weren't aware that they're not going to be able just to jump up and drive on the grass now. You can't do that anymore because you're going to have all these planned programs. So I asked them, how are you going to patrol the interior? Here's my answer for you.
3 minutes.
Okay, just finish that. Bike patrol is not available to us because of the shortage of police. There's a lot of issues here that need to be rediscussed.
Thank you, Bill. I'm down to the last two. It looks like Freddie Pepper. Freddie, are you?
Yeah. Go for it. I live here in Miramonte, close to Reed Park, so I mostly use the Reed Park Dog Park Loose Corner. And I just want to emphasize that I agree. I think it's really good to have little dog parks separate from the big dog parks because I have a 5-pound dog, and if I put her in a dog park with, you know, big dogs, they want to kill her. And I love that we don't have the little dog park. The Reed Park one in the little dog park, the fountain is either always beeping or it's off. So that needs to be fixed, like, once and for all, because it's just really unreliable. And I agree that they need to be ADA accessible. So that's my dog park section. The other topic that I'm really passionate about that I put on, like, every survey ever that is taking public input for the parks is about the duck pond here at Barnum Hill. And as you guys know, there's a lot of support for the duck pond here, but what I haven't heard talked about is the health of the ducks. The ducks are showing signs of malnutrition, and it's because if you sit out there, like I do so much, I was recently in school for nursing, and I go there to study. And I'll sit there for 6 hours, and I'll see nothing. They are not eating anything but bread. Like, every 15 minutes, a new family comes and feeds them bread. And that's great. I have memories of that as a kid, you know, but it's not good for the ducks. They are getting nothing but bread. They're only living on white bread. And every single family thinks they're doing something benevolent, you know, and helping these ducks. But there are signs, whenever you see a duck that has, you know, that has like a twisted wing, that is a sign of malnutrition. We need to protect these ducks. People love them. And there's so many creative ways we could do that. I would love to see, you know, it's such a cherished memory, but we could have like little, and I've seen this at other cities, little dispensers for duck pellets that are, you know, well-balanced nutrition. And they can cost a quarter or they can cost a token or whatever. This could be a learning experience for little kids, you know, to learn about the ducks, to save up, you know, their 5 cents or whatever to get a handful of duck pellets. I'd be willing to help to try to fundraise for that or organize it. The very first thing I think we should do is start by putting signs and say, please don't feed the ducks bread, you know, and maybe some information. I'd also be helpful, like willing to help make pamphlets, but we're going to lose these ducks like over time because I think as our population grows, more and more people go and feed them bread. So we all have this misconception that that is what we should do. And there's joy in it. Of course there's joy in it. So I don't want to change the joy. I just want to make it beneficial for the ducks or at least neutral rather than detrimental. Because there's lots of other cities that have had this issue, and it becomes, you know, a generational thing. And as these ducks breed, they're going to have more and more deformities that we're already seeing. So I have so many creative ideas. We could get schools involved. We could get, you know, youth organizations. We could get there's people out there, you know, and it could be an educational experience and also bring the community together because so many of us love Barnum Hill and love the ducks, and it could be really positive. But I think number one, if we could have an educational blast about it. And so maybe we could get this on the agenda for another meeting.
Thank you. All right. I believe it's Mark.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah,
Mark.
I just want to talk about the golf course issues again. I got in the mail, it shows the design of all the golf course on the golf course. And the more I look at them, the more I wonder how in the world they're going to be able to prove these courses that they're talking about. Many of them ran off north, and see so the pros can play someday, which is sort of doubtful on what we do, but I think. But they're going to lose number one, they're going to lose number two, they're going to lose number six, they're going to lose half of number eight, half of number nine, and part of number three that goes to, by your house over there. That's a lot of blocks. That's and hangouts and put, I mean, that's like four or five holes they're going to lose. And all they're going to gain in return is that little practice fairway over there. And that is, any of you who play golf, seeing on North, there's a little practice area. And I don't know how you can improve that course by taking away four or five holes worth of territory and substituting the practice fairway. Plus, I'm worried about the safety of the course because when I look at that course design, you've got holes going really close to each other, and as you were talking about the accuracy of golfers, it's actually a way worse than it used to be, because in the old days, people couldn't hit the ball 300 yards with the old little tiny woods, you know, and now you got kids that are, you know, 13, 14 years old, and they can smash a ball 250 yards, and it may go straight right or straight left, and anyway, I'm concerned about number, the South course, too, because they're going to lose number two, the par three over there by the pond. Then along 22nd Street, they're going to lose a big chunk because they're going to expand that bike path or the walking path on the other side of those hills. And we play that course a lot, and we have a lot of balls hitting over those hills, and they go right down the fence by 22nd Street. If you're going to have people walking top of the hills, I don't know. Unless they got some state-of-the-art fences, they're going to prevent golf balls from ever going through them. That's a big concern. And the other one, the other concerns are cost. I don't know how much any of this is projected to cost to do these redesigns. But and I'd also like to know what the cost of shutting down both golf courses, for God knows how long this is going to take to build these, if that's all going to be worth. And I love walking paths. I like that. I think that's a wonderful idea, but I don't see it working very well in the middle of the golf course. And plus, if it's open at night, another concern that I've been told about by people is the safety of that. You know, unless you're going to have that all beautifully lit up and have people out there, you know, to make your walkers feel safe. I don't, anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think I got through all of our guests.
Okay. Very good. Thank you all very much for your participation. Item number 4 is the Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission Awards, carried over from the last meeting. Diana sent us some additional material about the speed of the entrance that we had in question. And I hope you had a chance to take a look. That's if I have any questions about any of those.
Then, what is the pleasure of the commission as far as what goes next? What time do you need?
When do you want to give these awards? So the plan is to present them at the All Hands meeting in December, which I think is on the 20th. But we need time to
make
them up.
So what's a reasonable time frame we can do to get these, get our submission done?
So I thought we had discussed at the last meeting that we would go down to this meeting to get Diana that time. I don't know if we're meeting in November. Sometimes there is a discussion of a Thanksgiving not having a meeting, right? So this is the best meeting, just from my perspective, for us to know what you want to do in terms of awards.
Excuse me, I am ready to speak on that soon.
Okay, go for it.
I personally think, and I'm ready to support that all the people that were nominated get awards, except for the one person that did not have any ties to Parks and Rec. It's not a community service award as a partnering or being a city Parks and Rec employee or a partner with city Parks and Rec. So I'm ready to support.
I'll chime in and say I was ready to do the same thing.
Okay.
And for the same reasons. Okay. All right. So, Becky, did you have something?
Oh, I said I agree. I would make a motion to support that idea.
Okay. So if I remember correctly, I don't have all the names here in front of me, but I have individuals included Tony, Bettina, Terry, Maria, Tom, and Alex, I believe. Is that about right? And then we had a team, which was the ARC team, with Carol, Albert, and Andy, and I don't know who else on that team. So that looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals, and six individuals and one team. Right.
One of them is a partner, right? Is it, was there a separate?
Three partners.
Right. Is it part? Is that what it was called? Partner. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with you. So 5 employees, 1 partner.
I was 5 employees, 1 partner, 1 team. That is correct. So, is that the motion to approve the 5 individuals, the 1 partner, and the team? Yes. Okay. We now have a motion on the floor. And is that a second?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have now a second. Is there any further discussion? All right. Hearing none, then all those in favor of those 5, 6,
yeah.
4,
9,
5 individuals, 1 partner, and 1 team. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes, yes,
yes.
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 Okay.
That's way easier than
you asked her. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Okay. And if somebody needs some reason to explain why we didn't make the other award, let us know and we can write something up there. I think valid reasons for it.
I think at this point the only remaining action which Diana will reach out is depending on how we decide to do the award this year, we might need a signature. We'll get together and figure out how we're going to do the form this year.
And is that date specified yet?
Yeah. Give me 1 second. Let me just confirm that I was correct.
If you put that in the minute, it would certainly be helpful for those of us who have a calendar.
Right. Not a problem. I want to give you the wrong date and then you show up at the TCC.
That's one. Thank you.
It is the 20th, right? 20th, and I would say right now 11:30. Okay. We may adjust
the. And that's the 20th of December, correct?
That's December. Okay. Yeah.
Please make sure that that's in the minutes so that I can get that on there.
All right. Anything else about the commission awards? Okay. Seeing nothing, let's go on to item number 5, the Rio Vista Natural Resource Park Master Plan.
So, Chair, I think this one, just as a reminder that we went through a community engagement process, but this master plan, if you brought to this commission back in December of 2022, which you supported, and then we took it on to the mayor and council for formal adoption in March of 2023. So the master plan has been through the whole community engagement process and been adopted by this board and the mayor and council. After this board approved it, you know, we put the materials together to take the mayor and council, we went ahead and took the step of bringing on a firm to start developing construction documents to implement the master plan. So we actually started that in January of 2023, anticipating the mayor and council were going to adopt this, and we weren't over the word about that change. We brought in Watershed Management Group. As with all of our projects, when we look for a firm to do construction documents, we look for a firm to have a special expertise in particular areas. So we know who our firms are that specialize in certain things, we will reach out to those firms. In this case, the firm that we felt was most qualified to do this work was Watershed Management Group. So we reached out to them, asked them to prepare a proposal for us, specifically looking at how do we consolidate the trail network. We were looking at the highest priorities in the master plan, which was consolidating the trail network, revegetating the disturbed areas, enhancing the riparian areas, and stormwater harvesting. So Watershed provided a proposal to us. That proposal also includes construction administration. So typically after construction documents are done, and we get into implementing that work, they still oversee that work until it's complete. So it's kind of a two-step process that they propose on. Their proposal came in at $21,000, which is pretty reasonable. We were happy with the proposal. So we actually gave them a notice to proceed with design in January of 2023. One of the key elements we asked the firm to look at when they were developing the construction documents was what element of this plan could be implemented by volunteer work. We know we've got some active associations out there that are willing to put time in to improve the park. So we could specifically ask them to designate what activities do we really need a professional contractor to do, and what elements can we work with volunteer groups to facilitate that process. So from a financial perspective, this helps our bond dollars go a little bit further than we might be able to do if we just contract and all. Plus, you get neighbors who are engaged who want to take care of this. The process included a large management group providing 4 stages of design. They actually held a couple of stakeholder meetings, which is unusual when we do construction documents. Usually, we go back out to the community, but since we knew we were doing this with neighborhood groups, they actually talked to the community about potential improvements. Watershed submitted their final plan to the city on August 15th of 2023. Which unfortunately was the same time that the project manager of that project retired. So we, in essence, just put the project on hold until we could get a new project manager on. And as you all might recall, we lost all the one project manager. So on August 15th, we had one project manager. So we had to prioritize which project was important. The good news is you now have 5 project managers and another one coming on in 2 weeks. So the one coming on in 2 weeks is going to be assigned this project. He'll take it on. The first thing we'll do is we'll get him up to speed. We'll meet with Marshall Management Group, go through what the plans are, why we got to where we got to, and make sure we have a good understanding of what work needs to be contracted and what work we can work with the volunteer group. So I anticipate getting that project manager up to speed by the end of November, early December. And then we would look at kicking off or rolling out the improvements in early 2024, depending on whether we're going to coordinate with volunteers or do special construction work. So I think the next phase for us is in early 2024, once we get the project manager, we need to start to take the next step to deliver the project. So happy to answer any questions you might have.
Perfect.
Questions from the commission?
Yes, I asked for this on the agenda. And I want to thank Jennifer Shopland for being here. I've really enjoyed working with Rio Vista, Friends of Rio Vista, the Rio Vista neighborhood, and all the stakeholders, because my passion throughout my life has been building and sustaining collaboration. I worked as a council aide and discovered I would never be involved in politics, so I'm grateful that I could remain with you. However, I appreciate when consensus actually happens. And this project, look, because we both, those folks have talked to it about it to this day, because it was a good, solid process with community involvement. And the master plan was approved right around this table, or probably virtually at that time. So, and Tom Fisher was a big part of that. I think everybody would agree that Tom facilitated. And you all had a great process. So now, I think where we are is with you up to about the last 60 seconds, Greg. What the stakeholders are asking for now is to, when that manager comes on board, and I'm actually still my nothing, when that manager comes on board, that they are part of that process too, that we continue the collaboration process with stakeholders, with Friends and the Neighborhood Association to implement. Because the master plan was approved, but the implementation was not necessarily part of that. So maybe we're bringing consensus to a new level. So not just at master plan level, but to continue that. I know Tom Fish was here. I mean, I'm sure that would continue to happen through the implementation. Does that make sense to the implementation process?
Yeah, that was the whole point of having the
watershed
management group differentiate which elements can be dealt by volunteer groups, which may aid the friendly groups.
That part hasn't necessarily been, they're not necessarily in agreement with all of that, right?
I don't know.
Watershed. Okay. So Watershed proposed that. This is my understanding. Watershed management made those recommendations. I know there's things like 365 or 56, I don't know, plants that are going to be planted. So then the landscape, the irrigation becomes a discussion. So they would like to have participation in that conversation. So this is all implementation input.
So, yeah, I wouldn't know until I review the plans came with Watershed Management, so I haven't gone through that whole document yet. So as we go through with the BM, we can look at what.
But just to be sure that comes under Ward 3, and the only reason I'm here is as part of Ward 3 submission. So I think, so what I'm here to ask on behalf of is that the collaboration process and that facilitation is continued to involve the stakeholders through the implementation process.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
That's worth
making sure that this new person knows that ahead of time.
I would second that with Robin, to, I'm trying to go back to what has been said about the dog parks and also the reed park by Phil, that there are people who are part of these parks who know them intimately, and they've known them intimately for a very long time. And this is a very, you don't understand what's happening if you're just coming in and coming out in a place like that, or what's likely to go wrong. And so I lived on the edge of that park for about 7 years every summer, so I know it intimately. And I'm a horsewoman, and I've seen some of the things suggested in this that I would not see a reasonable suggestion raised because of the horses. You know, reminds me that horses are unpredictable. And
Having that engagement with people who are intimately familiar with the art is very important. And I think that's something that's being lost. We do these larger public surveys, but there are people who know their parts best. And those people often don't get enough continued input. And I don't know how to fix that.
Our man knows specifically in this room that Tom Hell's dick works during the construction of the document process. So that has happened throughout the process.
Okay. Well, I do know that there are certain some concerns.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyone else?
Say it, bring your concerns. I think it certainly be close as it was. It'd be helpful for me to hear directly.
Yeah.
Would you repeat that, please?
Absolutely. I think when I reach out to me directly with concerns, that's the best way to go.
Great.
Very good.
And that's in the minutes.
And that's in the
minutes.
Yes. Very good. Anything else about the Rio Vista resource?
Actually, yes, I did ask if there was another, if we had any other options for the glass recycling.
That's on the bottom of the agenda. Okay. All right. Let's go on to number six then. Mission Manor Park splash pad and dual update. Is that one?
Where's the
The Mission Manor park update has been an interesting project from the beginning. The bond called for a new splash pad in phase one, and it called for renovating the pool deck and tile in phase one and a new pool filtration system in phase three. So when we did the initial assessment of putting in the splash pad, this is back in, I believe, 2020, maybe 2019. A couple things that became apparent number one, the pool had been closed for 10 to 15 years. The infrastructure in the bathrooms had been completely demolished. There were no toilet seats left, there were no sinks left, there were no stalls left.
No plumbing.
Plumbing was pretty much pulled out of the building. The filtration system did not work. So it became pretty apparent early on that we really couldn't build a splash pad with the existing conditions. So we talked to the department and said, all right, maybe we need to rethink this. Let's go to the community and talk about what do they really want. So we kind of went to the community in 2021, during the pandemic, and do virtual meetings, and we kind of gave the option of, all right, do you want to rebuild a pool and have a small splash pad, or you'd rather us get rid of that pool and build a much bigger splash pad? We got a lot of good feedback. We actually went back to the community a second time, a year later in March of 2022, and did a in-person event, and the result being that's very much 50-50. About half people wanted a really big splash pad, the one pool, and half people wanted a pool and a splash pad. So we quickly said, all right, we got to keep a pool and splash pad project. We couldn't really go to a large splash pad, which was fine. So we started designing a splash pad. We were and a pool, which we estimated to be in the $3.5 to $4 million range, and our bond budget was a little less than $1 million. So we knew we had some funding gaps that we need to try to work through. Started looking at grants. We applied for a Odin grant. We got $160,000 from them. Started looking at potential impact fees. Then we also looked at submitting for a federal earmark to the tune of about $2.2 million. We recently, not so recently, but a couple months ago, were made aware that we are going to get the federal earmark, but it also meant we need to include a therapeutic pool in the design. So we had gone in the process of building a pool, therapeutic pool, splash pad, new bathhouse, kind of one project in that $4 million range. We are currently in permitting, so we have got through design. We're in the permitting process. We have not bid it out yet. We'll be bidding it out probably in early 2024 and see what the actual bids come in at. But we're hoping they're in that $4 5 million range to kind of where we're at budget wise right now. The funding that we've pulled together with this project. So in design and permitting, anticipate going to construction in early 2024. The only thing that could delay that a little bit is the level of environmental assessment we need to do based on federal funding, and we're trying to work through that piece right now. So once we get that environmental assessment, we can understand what exactly the federal government needs for that. This will move pretty quickly.
We also have to have the federal dollars in hand or shovel the ground.
Yeah.
So, and it's not because they won't do an IOU. The federal language actually requires any cost that's incurred prior to construction will not be reimbursed. So all of our design has come out of our bond money, and so that has gotten us, and that is our match to the federal. But, yeah, so that also could determine our start dates.
Yep.
Yeah, with the funds from the public office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're working through, and I attended a conference session that basically said have a lot of patience in terms of the actual receiving of the money, a lot of steps to go through. So we're in that process now. Sometimes it can take up to 18 months, but we're hoping that it'll be a lot faster, especially since the grant falls under HUD and our housing partners have a lot of experience with the HUD grant. So we're hoping that that will help us to navigate quicker.
Very good. Anybody have any questions for Greg?
Be ready when the
plane
gets
here. Yeah, so definitely ready.
Yeah. All right. Item number
7, the glass recycling
kit.
All right.
Who's this one?
That would be
you. Oh, good.
I'll go back. We just came up at the last meeting in regards to the location of Vista and to be real honest, we've had issues at Fort Lowell, Jacobs, all the firms we've had them at. I reached out to Environmental Services, and they told me that, yeah, we could move it. You know, if you want to move, where in the park do you want to move it? I said, no, we actually want to leave the property. So then we tried to go through a process to find a new location, another park, or, you know, that type of thing, and so him and I have been going back and forth with some ideas, and mine were the fire department, so the police station and stuff. But and then he did come back to me today, and he said I can share today that, and he shared this with me a month ago, but he confirmed today that I can share the news. So they're going to be removing all of the glass recycling bins throughout the city, and they'll be going back to the curbside service. They've been tracking this since they've done it, and it's actually more cost effective to go back to the curbside than it actually is for these bags. So after the first of the year, this has not been fully announced yet, so I'm not holding it a secret to see, right? But it is going to happen. It is a public news. We do have minutes, right? After the first of the year, they're going to be converting back to whether it's the big bins or the little bins, whether it's just glass, whether it's glass and plastic, that's all to be worked out. But after the first of the year, those will be gone. We asked if it's an immediate issue, then we could probably do something immediately. But he said after the first of the year, which is only, 2 months from now, we shouldn't be good. So that's what's happening.
Well, that's great. They're not going to take this back, are they?
if they don't do the curbside, we're still moving. We'll have them move it. But yeah, it's told me there's no dance.
I don't think they should be in parks.
So,
yeah.
Neither do we.
Yeah. So I agree that this particularly get passed set up.
I mean, if you think about for them, the easiest access for the public, it's parking. And we have bigger parking lots in some cases. And Jacobs was a huge issue for us in both locations we tried. So anyway, that's what they shared with me today and said I could share with you. And if that doesn't come through, then we'll go back down the other route.
Thank you. I'm driving to places myself.
Well, they might get more. I mean, actually, there I had that conversation before. We'd all be better if I live in the county and I already do it.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Any other questions about the glass recycling bin? Reports or announcements from, starting with the Parks and Recreation Commissioners. Anybody have anything that they wanted to announce this time?
Well, I went to the Quincy Douglas October 13th. Did you go?
No.
Oh, okay.
Go.
I saw Lily there, so that was nice. Their colors, the dress, prepared from the three concentrated. The same.
How many pieces did they have?
There were at least 3,000 people.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was up. It was up. Did you go?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you say?
It was very busy.
Yeah.
My son had a blast.
Good, yeah. And I saw Donnie there. Some of the staff from the other centers. And I just wanted to commend them because their partners are ride or die. I mean, Target, Geico, Police Department, Fire Department, they're solid. And they've built those great relationships. And they just work thousands. So I hope that there's been acknowledged for that. But I know they run this on a $600 budget, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. I can't even regard in my head for those that thousands and they have the haunted house. They just have great partners, so you can do that. There's some other little partners.
The donating volunteers.
Absolutely, yes. And volunteers. Community. So you're doing everything right.
Thank you, Rob.
And I was going to say, see Willie Blake out there. Oh. Just say that. he did dress sharp as he always is.
So Greg, is it this Saturday where they're having for the Randolph first?
Conference.
Is this a good time to ask about something on the agenda?
Bill, it does say that for number 9, which is the next item.
All right, that's right.
Becky, did you have anything you want to do as a
voting? No, not at this time. Thank you.
And do you have anything else besides that?
No.
All right, then let's go on to the staff reports. Hey, Donnie?
Hi, good afternoon. See if I can get my camera on and you can see me. Did I come up yet? No. There I am. Hi. Okay. So yes, I did go to, Quincy Douglas's Halloween event and it was amazing. And then it just made me a little bit scared too because there was so many people. I was like, oh gosh. But yeah, it was a good event. Lot of good times, lots of candy, lots and lots of different costumes and, glad that the community service officers from TPD were able to provide a safe access point to and from across the street because we utilized some of the U of A property across the street because parking was so crazy over there. But, yeah, it was a good time by all. This past Saturday, we also had our Boo Bash out at Lincoln Park in Ward 4. We had somewhere between, I think, 4,000 and 5,000 people out there. The space is a little bigger, and so it doesn't it flows a little bit better than the smaller portion at Quincy Douglas. But people were coming the entire time, and it was a really, really good event as well. Lots of candy, lots of good partners, EGSD, DTM. The ward office was all out there, too, so that was great. And then this coming week, we have 3 more events, all on Friday, so busy Friday. One at Marty Birdman Center, one at Santa Rosa Center, and then also the Kidco unit is going to be putting on some performances and games and things like that for their families to showcase their after-school program for Lights On After School, which is an October thing that out-of-school time celebrates across the country. And so it's our opportunity to showcase our after-school program and our site leads and also the kiddos that attend those programs. And then we have, just to put on some calendars, next month on the 18th is our family festival. I'm sure we'll be recruiting commissioners to come in and hang out in our booth, but also do some judging because we have a stiff competition for the traveling trophy, you know, for our centers that create these amazing games and things like that. This year it's at the OPC because of the construction at the zoo. So different location, but same great fun. And then just as an FYI, our aquatics team is going the first week of November to Scottsdale to a Stargard. They call it a camp, but it's an academy. It's kind of a refresher. They research and they just have some guest speakers and they meet with other Stargard agencies that are from around the state. So they're looking forward to that. It's a two-day thing. It's a good refresher, and it's good that they stay with up-to-date information for, you know, safety inserts and all of that good stuff. And then also, I don't think I mentioned the last time, but we did have our aqua pumpkin patches. We had one at the Arc there at Reed Park, and then we also had one for the first time this year at Clement Center. Both of those were pre-registered. Both of them sold out. I don't know if you know, but pumpkins float. The kids had an amazing time picking the pumpkin, bringing it out, throwing it back in the water, jumping back in the water, jumping back out with the pumpkin. And the pumpkins were like 3 or 4 or 5 pounds. So by the end of the day, the kids should have been exhausted. And it also happened to be one of the hottest days of the year. So it was a good time to have it, which the heat in October and pumpkins doesn't all go together in one sentence, but they were really, really good and we had a good time. And the folks out at Clements are really excited to have something like that out there on that side of town, and they look forward to another one. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Donnie.
Welcome.
Are you next?
Yeah, we don't have a lot right now. Obviously, I don't know if John wants to chime in. I do want to talk about our group. I might have mentioned at the last meeting that we're doing a volunteer clean day, but the city, it's a citywide thing, and our department is responsible for Pantano from Irvington to Steveling, and it's every Tuesday for 6 weeks, and yesterday was our week two. So we're continuing and tracking and counting how many bags of garbage and leaves and stuff were cut, so I will have those numbers for you at the next meeting.
And it's open to the public to participate.
Yeah, we do have 2 weeks of volunteer. 3 of the days are volunteer days, and the other 3 are just staff. So that's going on as well.
Definitely have that information.
Anything else, Mike?
Anything, John?
Nope. All right. Excuse me. Go for it.
I don't do roof too.
Oh, my kids had a good time. They quit. Sorry,
I shared that. We actually have a bunch of projects finally starting to move, so it's going to be a crazy couple of months. Christopher Columbus, which is about $7 million park addition up there, is going to go into construction in November. Fort Lowell Bathhouse and Splash Pad is going to go into construction in November. Freedom Park Splash Pad and Jet the Owen Splash Pads are going to go to construction in November. And the Mansfield Pool Slide is currently under construction and should be done by December. So we've been trying to get to this point for about 18 months and a bunch of projects. That's not all of them. That's just the newest one. So those 5 or 6 are going to roll here next month, which is awesome. We do have a bunch of community engagement coming up. As Amanda mentioned, we've got the Randolph Reimagine open house on November 4th. If you all got the email invitation to that. We've got a open house on November 7th at Loma Verde Park to share a concept for a dog park. That's November 7th, 5 and 6. And then Armory Park, we're going to take some concepts to the community on Saturday in December. We have that date. See who might have it, but we'll get to you next month.
The McCormick on November 8th.
That would be the day.
Yeah, on my calendar. November 18th.
November 18th. So we're getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, we realize, but the problem now with the holiday season is getting dates locked in. And then we don't want to hold up projects either. So.
Great. Rick, do you have anything else?
That's it.
All right. Thank you. And Gregor?
Not too many items other than we did get notified that we are able to purchase the land that we were pending on for Barrio Nepal. So we're in the process now that is related to a brand new park for that neighborhood. So we've been concurrently doing the design. We're in permitting now. And we'll be also preparing the documentation related to the construction docs. But we needed that one final piece, which was the actual acquisition from Suffolk Hills School District. We got an adjacent parcel to complete the park from Pima County, right? Yeah. So excited about that because it's not often you get to celebrate a completely brand new park that comes with amenities. And that's exactly what we have in this particular project. Last meeting, I told you all that we were going to a national conference, that we'd be doing a presentation on how to resuscitate an aquatics program. And it was pretty amazing. So Johnny, Sierra, and I gave the presentation. We had over 100 people in the room. Asked a lot of questions, and it was really exciting to see that there was value in what our topic was talking about, and since then we've been contacted for more information on and copies of our slides, so that was really nice, and I'm really proud of both Donnie and Sierra because I submitted that idea without telling them. We got slides in, but it was cool. It was really cool. So, and I think that's really all that I have right now. It's been a bit of a quiet month, which is kind of a good thing.
Okay. Thanks very much, Mara. We are on item number 9 next, which is Commission Future Agenda Items. We'll talk about the meeting date in a moment, but I believe you had something that you wanted to put on there.
In my time with Save the Heart of Reed Park, I heard the same comments over and over and over again. Did that remind me your name?
Freya?
Freya.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm hearing it all the time, and people are always posting things about that. And myself have also really dreamed of containers of quarters for real food. I've been watching the ducks go downhill, and I've been getting pretty regular complaints from people in the park talking about it, but it didn't seem to be an opening. So if there is a possibility to start talking about this and maybe get this on the agenda, I think it would be a good idea. I think you would really do a lot for the public around Reed Park. Reed Park would be finding dead birds pretty regularly. So you'd feel as if the park was losing some in the park system because it is a bad situation. That would be good. I'd love to see that happen.
Very good. That in a minute. All right. Any others?
I want to thank Joan for coming. Thank you for the cookies. Thank you for your group that came with you. And
they're gone.
Mine's waiting patiently.
Very patiently.
I want to meet with you. I'm going to give you my phone number right now. I met with Jennifer and I meet with Rihanna Wave. But when I understand the issue and where you're coming from, and I see that there's, I can wrap my head around how we talked about that, I think, after the last meeting, what that even looks like. Why is it on the agenda? And then how to move forward and actually
get
positive results for that. So
I was kind of waiting for your call, and like I said,
I have a phone number. I have your email, which I email. But that's cool. I'll give you my number, and I'm going to put it on you.
Everything. Yeah, absolutely, because I would like to invite you to meet me for cookies and brownies and everything at the dog park. You can actually visually see what we're talking about. It's lovely weather to be outside.
Right. We'll talk about that. I won't take up time.
Okay, anyway, but yes, thank you. And
so I have not put it on, and we won't put it on the agenda until we figure out what it is, because I don't get it.
Yeah, no, and I've really expressed a lot of what I needed to, but there's a lot that we can take care of.
But now what? So I guess that's always
what matters.
you take them along with Rob if you have dogs in the life and things on.
Yeah.
And I'm very familiar with the issues of breed dogs that aren't good.
Exactly.
And I've had mobility issues of my own. And so I understand everything you said.
Thank you.
Really?
Is it?
I think it's just
because I know when we just had two of you come to our all hands, we had to notice that you would be in attendance. So to ask, I'd rather ask than.
Right.
Okay.
How many members did we have at that
point? I don't think it really mattered. It was because I remember inquiring if we needed to because we had invited. And I remember them saying we had to put it on.
Yeah, for the revamp.
Right. So I just, not that I'm trying to.
No, the yeah,
I just want to make sure. You might be able to. You just would have to tell us when. And we would just
Thank you. Check on that.
Yeah.
Back to the meeting date. Do we really want to meet the day before Thanksgiving?
No.
Well, that's pretty honest.
I love these meetings.
Yeah.
Well, what about doing it from the lab? Did we do that last week?
Is that what we do?
Because we had a big storm so long that here's a
Could be.
I'm fine with that, but you know what everybody else wants to do.
Let's take a quick look at the point.
That's fine with me.
Becky's okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's...
Motion to have our next commission meeting on November 29th.
The 29th.
3:30.
At the usual time and the usual place, just unusual day. Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Let's see. I think that's it. Anybody else have anything for the cause? Right here and then, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Good to see you here.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be able to see and hear at the same time.
No worries,
yeah. Okay, all those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposed? Got it.
I understand and respect, and I'm just there for each of the work.